time, but that's enough for me, mate.
Not sure there's ever quite been a night like it as Jason McCartney made his emotional return to footy back in round 11, 2003, 8 months after being injured in the Bali bombings, and then promptly, as you saw, then retired. And he joins us now running footy at GWS. Where do we find you this afternoon? At home, I presume, Jason. Thanks for joining us.
Hello, how are you? Yeah, no, just at home this afternoon. I was out the back a little earlier, but next door's puppies making a bit of noise, so just upstairs.
I know you've talked about that night and all your experiences so many times over the years, and life moves on. But when we are in these strange circumstances, do you have reason to cast your mind back to sort of what you went through and then returning to footy and what the game means to you?
Yeah, no doubt. You do at times, especially obviously the situation that everyone finds themselves in now, not only within the bubble of AFL, but outside of that. So, yeah, you do cast your mind back, and when something's taken away from you for any length of time, you do certainly, you miss it and you appreciate how great it is when you are playing.
Jason, take us through that because, I mean, you had a lot of things taken away from you at the end of 2002 and, you know, watching your return firsthand back to the mid-2003 season, I think it was about round six or seven, that game was on. But the lead-up to that game was incredibly challenging for you physically, let alone mentally, and you were the face of the rise, if you like, of those people that were affected. Take us through the 6 months prior to that game.
Yeah, Dave, look, to be honest, you're trying to focus on getting back and doing what you do, and that's play AFL football. But obviously there's so many people impacted from all around the world, and we know a lot of Australians. So with that, I suppose there was more of a focus on me just because of what my job was and people could associate with it, because obviously our game of AFL football is just so popular. So yeah, that was something you're conscious of and you're trying to manage in the background while you're trying to get to work. So mentally, it was definitely a draining process, but physically, it was unbelievably challenging as well, as you saw firsthand.
Jason, some of the heroic deeds, and I don't want to embarrass you, but we are obviously following it so carefully, being fairly close to it also, was it true... the stories we were getting that you were next in line to catch the flight home from Bali, but you refused the position, saying this person's in better, greater need than me and the likes. Can you tell us some of those heroic sacrifices that you actually did stand aside for?
Yeah, look, Dermot, I was, like many, was in the Sanglah Hospital, which was the local hospital in Denpasar. And look, for whatever reason, I was in a small room there, which had been an office, obviously, and there was four or five people in there. So just for whatever reason, I wasn't out in the open like I've seen images of so many others. I was very fortunate. I had a young couple from Sydney who were living in Singapore at the time that spent a lot of time with me for whatever reason that day. And obviously, I knew I was in a bad way, but I had comfort and I had support. I'm not sure who the other people were in my room, but they had no one and they sounded like they were in excruciating pain. So when it did come that time, there was a bit of discussion around being flown out early on one of the earlier planes. But I felt, because I had support and comfort there, that I could probably just wait a little bit longer. Now I understand a lot more about burns, Dermot. It wasn't probably a wise choice and I should have jumped on the first one and got home. But that was the situation. I thought there was people worse off in that room I was in particular. So I just waited. And I had tremendous support from a young couple with me.
And can you explain to us then an understanding about burns for Joe Public, the reinfection of what the burnt flesh does?
Well, that's the biggest issue, obviously, is the infection. And that hospital we're all in, predominantly. They did an amazing job. But, you're going back, 18 years ago, and it's a local hospital for predominantly the local Balinese. So, like I said, they did some amazing things there for us all, but they weren't prepared for the enormity of what took place. And for most of us, they didn't have enough dressing to dress the wounds. So the wounds lay open and exposed to infection. And that became the biggest issue for everyone involved.
Jase, we were talking, myself and King, before the show today. We were talking about you and we were talking about the events. And I said to him, I was in Bali in January. I went to the Bali bombing memorial. And King, he said, well, actually, I was over there recently and I went along to it as well. And I immediately thought of you and Mick Martin. And I thought, God, have a look at this place. Would have been amazing. Is it something that you continue to think about? Does it pop into your head? Do you actually wake up sometimes thinking, oh, I've just been thinking about this. How has it played out in your life mentally?
No, it's a great question, Robbo. And I, for whatever reason, I don't know why, it's not something I find myself drifting back to that often. And I've got no doubt it's through the football and, you know, the experience of coming back and playing, you're regularly talking to your teammates about it. Then beyond that, since the playing days, you're regularly speaking about it, whether it be schools or corporately. And then obviously ended up writing, once I come back and played that game, Jeff Slattery talked me into writing a book about it. So it feels like the ability to, and it's at the right time and everyone does things differently, but for me, just talking about it so much, it gave me a little bit of control back over the situation. It's something that doesn't control me. And I did spend a lot of time with a mate who was a counsellor too, and that paid enormous dividends. So, yeah, it's a funny one because one day maybe there may be something, but at this point in time, it hasn't been something that's you find yourself drifting back to or, you know, waking up in the middle of the night thinking about it.
How far out did you know you're only going to come back and play one game at AFL level? And I guess on reflection, how important was it in your overall story to actually achieve that?
Yeah, Hutto, my ambition all the way was to get back and continue on playing. It was probably about 4 weeks before ultimately I got selected to play. I just came to the realisation I couldn't keep doing it. And it was all off the back of a very minor calf injury that I sustained in a VFL game. Our affiliate at the Kangas at the time in the VFL was Port Melbourne, King's old club. So just playing down there, injured a calf, which was part to do with some shrapnel wounds I had in my lower legs. And I just thought it was at that time, I was nearly about to throw it all away that Sunday night when I came home, and I had some great support from my wife, Narissa, and Glenn Archer, I think, and Anthony Stevens rang me straight away, and my mate from Perth and Peter Hughes, who was in Bali with me, and talked me out of it and hang in there. But in the next week or so, whilst I didn't play, I was doing a lot of training, and it was just that light bulb moment, how fresh I really felt and how much I understood that probably with these burn injuries, it was going to be at least another couple of years of healing. So that 4 weeks out from that game, I knew in my own mind that whenever it was I played, it would only be the one game, unfortunately.
Jason, I don't want to get too personal here, but it may drift down, and I want to proceed by saying well done for being, you know, named head of football at GWS. It's a really important job. It's a big role. I think I watched you play football and I knew a little bit about you, young tear away in life, thinking, you know, like everyone is running through life, thinking, what's next, what are we doing, rah, rah, rah.
Yep.
How much did it mature you, the events, and how much did that event, you know, help put you in a position that you are today as general manager of an AFL football club?
Yeah, Robert, it certainly did. I think it was part event and part the age that I was at in my life. And I was 28, nearly 29 when it all happened. So you get to that stage and you described it well. I was it's fair to say, a rat bag, a tearaway and a risk taker. So, and that's how you live life and how you played. So when something like that happens and at that age in your life where Narissa and I were about to get married and settle down, obviously, once I said before, when everything's almost taken from you, and not only football but your life, it puts everything into perspective, and it does make you really want to knuckle down and make the most of your second opportunity. And football has been my life, and I was very fortunate after retiring, doing a number of different roles, but one of them was in at the AFL, and it just gave me a wonderful grounding and consolidated in my mind the direction I really wanted to go. And that's I'm very privileged to find myself in the position I am today as a general manager of football.
It's Dean Laidley's first year of coaching. So in 03, so round 6 was the Carey return match we just talked to Arch about, and round 11 was this match. So an unbelievable start to Dean's coaching. I think when you sort of see the story and you're involved in the story, you sometimes lose sight of how big it actually is.
Yep.
Jason, can you take us to the point of just the pre-match, you know, that couple of days leading up to that round 11 game? How much contact you'd had with people that you were the head of the cause, if you like, that you can get on with your life, you can get back to where you'd once been? I mean, I was blown away with the amount of those that were individually or personally affected by the Bali bombings, and the family of those that were either not with us or had suffered some really tragic times. Can you tell us about that couple of days prior?
Yeah, Dave, look, it was a big couple of days, and we were really conscious. I was working really closely with the footy club at North Melbourne to make sure that we're able to pay our respects to and honour so many people in a way. So there was a lot of organisation behind the scenes there, and the club were great. That not that I got to see it being in the rooms before the game, but there was a ceremony held on the ground that represented, just if we talk in sporting terms, AFL clubs at all different levels across the country were out on the ground that were impacted by what happened in Bali. And also I think there might have been some representations from other codes. So, yeah, there was a lot of people there. There's no doubt about it. And it just once again shows the impact that sport can have when a situation is pretty dire, the power of sport. So a lot went on behind the scenes. And, I'm really grateful for the support the club gave me all the way through. But allowing both the footy club and the AFL to put something to represent so many people have been hurting so much on that night.
Can you tell us about the moment, the footballing moment, the human emotion moment? Duncan Kellaway's just all over your back. You've arched your back. You've taken a chest mark and you slowly fall to the ground with the weight of Duncan on you.
Yeah.
And you'd built up to trying to play a game of league footy again. And in that moment, you just want one kick, I would imagine. Yeah. You want one touch. Be in the moment when you mark the ball, and between then and falling to the ground, did you think to yourself, I've done it. I'm back. This is the moment my life has been for.
It was, you built it up really well, Dermot. The only thing you missed was David King actually kicked it to me, like alongside you. So
I was having a shot.
from 80, as you did. It all happened so quickly. You get your body in front. Like, I'd played a little bit forward, but predominantly my AFL career as a defender. And I've been cruising around at centre-half back for Port Melbourne, picking and choosing when I wanted to get involved and playing well at that level. But this was a massive step up. And, to body in front, read the flight, drop a ball, and just, relief, I've marked it. But then the fear of the set shot, because I wore the gloves because my hands were a mess and I had the garments on both arms, legs and the hands, and the garments were really slippery. Now, I remember in the warm-up, I tried a new pair of gloves on, and they're fantastic for marking, but they were just too much grip on them to kick, and I knew I'd probably play forward. So I went with the old warning gloves, but you were just... All I was fearful of was that I could get the ball drop right and it wouldn't stick too much. But I knew as soon as I hit the boot, I connected well. And, I was pretty relieved that went through, that's for sure.
I don't know if you saw Robbo last week, but he had those gloves on last week, didn't you, Robbo?
You're right, he did slip over. It was a magnificent moment, Jason. And I don't know if the word's proud, but I think everyone in football was so happy.
Now, Mark, I was proud to be Australian watching that. And we were commentating, Bomber. Jason.
That's right.
Yeah, there was Gary Lyon, myself, Dennis and Eddie. It made me proud to be Australian.
Okay, I agree. Yeah. I was just happy, proud. It was just a beautiful moment, one of the most beautiful moments in football. Well, now we're going to get on to modern day.
Before you get on to the moment, I'll just pick up for anyone who might be listening. Dermot's called me Bomber. That was my nickname at Collingwood, so no one take offence to that. So I was a mad keen Essendon supporter growing up, so nothing to do with anything else, but just an old nickname.
Yep. And Dennis's line, the fairy tales do come true. That was brilliant as well. Just wanted to say that, Robbo, before you move on to the now.
Righto, now, your general manager of football, Leon Cameron was on with us a couple of weeks ago or last week. We spoke about the fact that he's basically agreed that he's getting a contract extension. The clubs agree, but no contracts can be done at the moment. So that's a magnificent tick. Well done. The next big name up there is Jeremy Cameron. And every time you listen to Jeremy Cameron from a public point of view, Jeremy Cameron is staying at the Giants. Are you as well advanced on an agreement with him as you are with the coach, or is it something that you'll pick up when he gets back?
Yeah, the first part, obviously, with Leon, that's fantastic for the footy club. We're well down the path there and we're committed to Leon for a couple more years. Obviously, everything that's transpired in the last sort of fortnight to 3 weeks, is that just has to sit at the moment. But he's committed, which is great. And obviously with Jeremy, we're not that far down the path, but we've had really good progression in those discussions. But that's everything with player contracts has come to a halt as well, because there's a lot of uncertainty what, obviously, the collective bargaining agreement goes through to the end of 2022, but you would imagine now with the players and the AFL settling on what the pay reduction is for the until the end of this year. We'll need to then have a look at what the next 2 years are. But look, you never do know until it's signed off on. But his actions around the club, he's jumped into the leadership group this year for the first time, which is a great sign. He's going really well in that capacity, enjoying himself, enjoying his football up until the last couple of weeks. So it feels like it's heading in the right direction. So we're very hopeful, that's for sure.
If lists come down to 32, 33, 34 players, Jason, do you think that'll hurt GWS more than other teams, given the high-level talent you've got at the top of your list? And you've probably got a couple more than most teams that are on bigger contracts. Do you think that'll hurt you more, put the squeeze on you even more than the average club?
Yeah, look, obviously it's a topical discussion at the moment. Kingy isn't, and we're unsure. The AFL is doing some amazing work in there and trying situations to work through what that will look like. Look, if that was the case, obviously I think the number, where the number will land, and let's be realist with this, the number will land at a soft cap level and a player list side with what the actual game can afford. So what we knew, departments and salary caps and things 3 weeks ago, it's a fair chance that's going to be different moving forward. So we'll work with that. To the question around will it hurt us if it went back to those levels? Look, we've got great depth, and that's the fantastic thing about the footy club and people that have been before me that have built it up a really strong position we find ourselves in today. But it'd be disappointing because you do lose some of those players at the back that are not your high-end talent, but they're developing nicely in our development program. So that would be disappointing. But in terms of depth, I don't think, to be honest, anyone at the high end bats really deep to 35 and 40. You generally do have that that role players who play important parts in your team, but also then the development rookie type or the international players. So, yeah, look, it'd be disappointing, but we understand if that would be the case. I don't think it would hurt us in the short term. But the one thing on top of that, Kingy, what we want to be mindful of, us at the Giants, obviously the Swans, Gold Coast and Brisbane, do a power of work with their academies, and we certainly wouldn't want that to be impacted by then the inability to bring local talent onto your list if it did come down too far.
Term?
I just wanted to...
Last one, Derek.
Yeah, okay. Jason, can you tell us what protection will be given to the clubs? Like some teams, and I would imagine GWS are in this boat, players that you might rank at number 30, 31, 32nd choice, will there be an open season on them 2021? Will somebody else be able to draft them into their 30, 31? Is there a protection going to be put in place over that so you can protect your players that you've groomed along for the last however many years?
Yeah, look, it's an unknown at the moment, Dermot, to be honest. Things are starting to come together, but it's a lot of work the AFL is going through while still focusing on what it'll look like when we get back this year. So we're getting the information at the come to hand as quickly as the AFL have it, but that's an unknown. And there's probably still there's a few more unknowns than what's known at the moment. So we'll wait on that.
Yeah, it's a good summary. There's a lot of unknowns everywhere. Jase, we really appreciate your time and great to go back down memory lane to one of the most incredible nights of AFL footy. So thanks for doing that and good luck for the Giants for the future. Thanks for joining us, mate.
Yeah, thanks very much, gentlemen. Have a great afternoon.
Thanks, Jase.